think he was afraid someone would recognize him if he went to see Jesus in the daylight. He was important after all, and Jesus' message was pretty radical.
Well, Jesus...
Welcome to everyone this morning, and we especially welcome the Weber family. It's a special time, I think. Mark's birthday, I don't know what day, but today we have to sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mark. Happy birthday to you. It's really good to see Lou again. Welcome. At this time, we'll have our candle lighting. We light a light in the name of the God who creates life, the Savior who loves life, and the Spirit who is the fire of life. Oh dear. As a child of God, there comes times when we feel God is not there. We feel alone. How does this affect how we communicate to God during those times? How did God show himself to you during those times or after? Jesus said, he is always with us. During the time of anticipation, think about how we can recognize God's presence during those times of feeling abandoned by God. King David also went through times when he felt afraid, alone, and abandoned by God. He wrote down these feelings and prayers in Psalms. Psalm 27 is one of many Psalms that tells how David responds in times of needing to feel God's presence, reminding himself how God had been with him in times past. And I'm going to read Psalm 27, verses 7 through 14. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are here with us now, and you are always with us, as you promised in the scriptures. Holy Spirit, shine your light into our hearts that we may always know you love and care for us and are guiding us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us new life through your death and resurrection. Triune God, we ask for your blessing on us as we worship, and we pray this service will be a blessing to you this morning. Amen. And we will have our first two hymns.
I invite you to turn to 124, which is our theme song for this month. And this morning we're going to try to do a little different. Last week we added the drum to it for the whole thing. I got my debut as a drummer, sort of. And we'll try it again this morning, but I would like, I've asked Lois to do the guitar. So I'd like to do the verses with the guitar and drum only, and then the piano will join for the refrain part. And then she'll also join for the last verse. So I'm trying to get a bit of the feeling of a little more bleakness, which to me the words suggest. And so we'll see how it goes.
Joy, 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 joy
And in the same book, number 45.
At this time, I invite the children to come forward with a story with Jeanette Cressman. Janet Cressman.
Good morning, everybody. How is everyone?
Good.
That's good. You had a good week?
Yeah.
And this week's going to be even better, right?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's
our prayer. Yeah. Good. Okay, every Sunday of Lent, we've been talking about different prayers. And this morning, I was trying to think what the other prayers were. Can you remember what last week's story was about? What kind of a prayer? Was there a silent prayer? There was a pop-up prayer, right? And a prayer of song, I think. This week we're going to learn a prayer about using somebody else's words, because sometimes we can't think of the words, because we just can't think of the words. Or it could be that we're sad, or we're scared. And sometimes it's nice to have a prayer that someone else has taught us. And one of the ones we know is the Lord's Prayer. But today we're going to learn about a prayer in the Bible, and it's from Psalm 107, and it's a prayer that Jesus might have learned too. So I'm going to say the words, and then you're going to repeat them back to me. We will give you thanks, O Lord. And now you can repeat back.
We will give you thanks, O Lord.
We will give you thanks, O Lord, for you are good. We will give you thanks, O Lord, for you are good, for your faithful love.
We will give you thanks, O Lord,
for your faithful love. We will give you thanks, O Lord, for you are good, for your faithful love lasts forever.
We will give you thanks, O Lord,
for you are good, for your faithful love lasts forever. That's a lot of words, isn't it? So, To show that we love God, we can, while we're saying this prayer, we can put our hands in front of our chest like this, and that means that you're loving God. So let's say it again, and we're going to give you, you can each have a bookmark. You need the word. You can pick a color.
Purple.
And I want you to take this bookmark home, and your parents can help you learn the words, and you can put it in a special spot. It could be by your... Oh, I'm going to hand more out.
Oh, we're going to hand.
So you can put it by your bedside table for at night when you go to bed, and when you wake up in the morning, you could say this prayer. And at bedtime, and you can say it for a meal, or you could have it in your car, you could have it in your favorite book, and you can just go to this prayer. So let's all say it together again. We give you thanks, O Lord, for you are good. Your faithful love lasts forever. And it's from Psalm 107, verse 1. So I want you to take two more bookmarks. So the one you keep, and then you're going to give away to anybody here at church. Okay? Actually, we'll do,
no.
Two more pinks. So you girls here, you can hand those out at us. So remember to keep one, and then you give away the other ones. Has everybody got, I got a few more here you can give out. Okay, so you can wander around and give them out. There's another one, Hannah. You want to give another one out?
The scripture reading is taken from John 3, verses 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants.
If you turn on the hymnal to 167, and I think we'll stand for this one since I didn't have you stand for the first. And I'd like to try, for those who are comfortable, sing the first verse in German. And Hendrike can critique us if she wishes, but or not. And the last time I tried it, she wasn't here. So would you stand, please? 167.
Thank you.
take your bulletins, and on the back we'll be doing the call to authenticity. Where are you, Lord? We feel abandoned. You don't seem to be listening to our cries for help. Like the people of Israel, we're tired of our burdens, our distress, and our difficulty.
Do something, and quickly.
Shine your light on us.
Help us trust that you are present even in hardship.
Though even the redeemed are fools because of their sinful ways, God saves them from their desperate circumstances, giving orders for their healing and rescuing them from the pit.
A story is told about a son, Pete, and his dad, Rob. One night, Rob's 6-year-old son, Pete, protested his bedtime. Frustrated by his father's refusal to budge, Pete finally became so frustrated that he said, "Daddy, I hate you." Rob, possessing the presence of mind many parents wish they more frequently had, especially when dealing with their own children, replied, "I'm sorry you feel that way, Pete, but I love you." And then what do you think Pete said? "Oh, it's okay," or maybe, "Sorry, Dad, I love you too." Nope. When Rob told his son that he loved him, Pete yelled back, "Don't say that." Surprised, Rob continued, "But Pete, it's true. I love you. Don't say that, Daddy. But I love you, Pete. Stop saying that, Daddy. Stop saying it right now." And then Rob concluded, "Peter, now listen to me. I love you, like it or not." Upside down and inside out, the season of Lent 2015. As we've been following the Lenten worship guide, we've been challenged to continue our journey of growing up, opening ourselves to be remade, reshaped, and recasted, trusting in the power of God's love, the coming of God's reign here on earth as it is in heaven. So with this in mind, what do we hear and see in our familiar text from the Gospel of John this morning on this fourth Sunday of Lent? To help us reflect on this, I am using some ideas from David Loos's sermon entitled "Like It or Not." And I am intrigued by his confession. "I don't care much for today's gospel reading. In fact, deep down sometimes, I don't like it at all." He continues, "Now I know. I know by saying this, I'm rejecting the world's favorite Bible verse. You know, John 3:16, the verse translated into more languages than any other piece of literature. The verse millions of children memorized before any other. The verse those silly people at the major sporting events hold up on their big yellow cards. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. That's the one. And sometimes, I just plain hate it." Now, how can a renowned Christian preacher and teacher of homiletics say such a thing? Upside down and inside out. What is he trying to say? Well, let's stop and consider for a moment. What would it be like if someone died for you? I suspect it's not all that hard for most of us to imagine that the incredible sense of gratitude we might feel for that person. But now imagine that it wasn't just an impulsive act of bravery, someone pushing you out of the way of a car, something like that. Rather, someone knew you were in mortal danger and deliberately exchanged his or her life for you. Suddenly, it's not just gratitude we feel, but a profound sense of debt. How can you possibly make it up to someone who has given you so much? Well, this is essentially the picture Jesus offers of God. For the giving of the Son, he references, isn't simply sending Jesus to deliver a message. It's giving Jesus over to die on a cross for us. That is why, as Martin Luther once said, this verse is the gospel in a nutshell. Makes me, as I'm saying it this morning, think of those people who are the recipient of an organ donation. When it's consciously done and someone willingly gives one of their organs for another person, and the lingering sense of guilt that the person feels and gratitude for such a willing act which saves their life. Lowe's continues, reflecting on this, that there is something troubling, even scandalous, at the heart of this beloved verse. Notice that God doesn't ask our opinion first. God doesn't ask our permission. God doesn't even consult us. God, in fact, just goes ahead and gives the Son over for us. Herein lies the rub for Lowe's, and for all of us, I suspect, if we stop and ponder it. He says, part of me is incredibly grateful, and part of me is pretty indignant. I mean, how dare God? How dare God sacrifice so much for us and by doing so have such a claim on us? It's not just scandalous, but if you think about it, even offensive, as it leaves us no room for our hopes and plans or our wants or desires. It leaves us, that is, out of control. It's not up to us. Returning to the beginning story, it seems that even at 6 years old, Peter realized that in the face of unconditional love, he was powerless. If his father had been willing to negotiate, "I'll love you if you go to bed nicely," then Peter would have been a player. He would have been able to have some control. "Okay, this time, but I'm not eating my vegetables tomorrow night." But once Rob refused to negotiate, refused to make his love for his son conditional on something that Peter did or Peter did not do, then Pete could do nothing but accept that love or to run from that love. I sense that I see this similar scenario over and over again in counseling settings. We long for unconditional positive regard or unconditional love and acceptance, and yet in the face of it, we often run from it as well, the very thing that we long for. It can be so comforting and healing, and yet so scary, so feeling out of control to realize that there is nothing I can do to earn or lose someone's love. We long for this. Children desperately need it in their early years of development, and they spend a lifetime trying to repair if they don't have it. And yet we can feel a loss of control in it. Sadly, in this moment, so many times we sabotage the very thing we want, love, acceptance, belonging, to try to maintain control. If we consider this text and God's relationship with us and humanity in general, I sense the same dynamics are at play. If God makes God's great love for the world and us conditional, then we suddenly have power. We can negotiate. We can threaten to reject God's love. We can even tell God to go take a hike if we don't care for God's terms. But when God just loves us completely and unconditionally, and when God just goes and dies for us, well, then the game is over. There's nothing that we can do to influence God. And that's just what happens in this verse. Listen to it once more.